You're listening to Arrivé by the Cycling Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to this Arrivé episode from the Cycling Podcast for Milan, our first Arrivé of the year. And we are, of course, covering the Milano San Remo Donne race. I should say right now, this is spoiler-tastic. We are going to be going into minute detail about what happened in that race. So if you haven't watched it, if you want to know what happened in the race before you come and listen to us dissect it, then go away and watch the race. It is worth watching. I know me and my co-host, Rebecca Charlton.
Hello.
we were actually a little bit down on Milan San Remo, weren't we, in the week when we recorded our regular episode. But this has given us actually so much to talk about that we couldn't even get all of our household chores done, no doubt.
I got no household chores done. It was absolutely thrilling, wasn't it? And I take it all back. Forget I ever said anything and that I ever criticised this race. It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. I did get a load of washing done in the first 100 kilometres.
Oh, now I feel bad.
It was a productive day for me. But, well, shall I go through what happened in the race as a little summary? So Milan San Remo, or should that technically be Genova to San Remo, as that's where the race began for the women, with 120 kilometres to go of the 156-kilometre route, a nine-rider breakaway, almost entirely formed of smaller second and third tier teams, made their move. By the start of the first climb of the Capo Mele, they had an advantage of just under 2 minutes, with SD Works keeping them in check at the front of the peloton. Onto the Capo Berta, and their advantage evaporated wildly under the accelerations of the UAE ADQ team behind, leaving only three riders in front. They were Heidi Franz of San Michele, Sofia Arici of Grand Prix Longitudinal del Norte, and Bodine Vollering of Volca Vessels, and that is Demi's little sister, in case you were wondering. They were swept up as the pack sped onwards towards the Cipressa. In the run into the climb, Little Trek, Cassia Nieviadoma and Noemi Rugg all came to the forefront, but it was Femke de Vries of Visma Lisa Bike who first went clear, with Niamh Fisher-Black and Nieviadoma soon joining her. Rugg soon dragged the pack back to them, though. Nieviadoma then took her chance on the steepest parts of the climb, pulling a group of seven riders clear and seeing Capecchi and Vibus dropped. The group stalled, however, and the numbers swelled once more. In the closing phase of the Cipressa, Lieke Nooyen of Visma Lisa Bike took a flyer, leading over the top with just under 20 seconds. As Nieviadoma's efforts on the front of the descent strung out the pack, she lost her back wheel on a blind corner and crashed into the safety railing. A number of riders, including Kim LeCourt, also went down, with several waves further crashing into the pile-up. Of highest concern was Deborah Silvestre, who went over the barrier, but her Laboral Kutschka team have since reported her as being conscious and that she's going to hospital for further treatment. With the pack then regrouping, Blanca Vas of SD Works did the majority of the chase back to Nooyen, with the Dutchwoman starting the Poggio with mere seconds advantage. An attack from Nicola Noskova of Cofidis shot past Nooyen and Rihanna Marcus took to the front. Further attacks were nullified by her pace, and it wasn't until 1 kilometre to the top that Puk Pieterse dug in, taking with her a select group of Noemi Rugg, Lotta Capecchi, and UAE ADQ pair Dominika Vlodicic. What a rider, as Denny would say, and Eleonora Gasparini. Vlodicic gapped the rest in the final few hundred metres, and it took Capecchi to draw her back in. The pack behind left it too late to chase, and the final came down to those five riders. Vlodicic led out on the Via Roma, but when Capecchi opened up her sprint, the victory could only be hers. Rugg finished second, and Gasparini came past Pieterse for third. Now, normally when we have a SD Works win or a Lotta Capecchi win, then it's kind of like, oh, another Lotta Capecchi win, you know, we could all see it coming. But this is a really special one, isn't it, Rebecca? Because I know that she won in the week at Nocera Cursa, but she's had such a difficult season last year, which is crazy to talk about when, she did get three wins last season, but she had a really hard year, didn't she?
Yeah, and I think that's always a context we need when talking about Capecchi, isn't it? That actually she won big at the beginning of last season, but because she had so much to contend with in the way of significant injuries, and then the subsequent effect of that obviously really took its toll. She had a fractured vertebrae, she had knee problems coming into the early season, back problems before she broke her back, and I think that it's easy to forget when somebody has been so down on their luck. I guess, one, how quickly the tides can turn, but the way Capecchi rode today, just if anyone needed reminding of what a masterful tactician she is and just how impeccably she can ride and secure a victory in a bike race. Well, she certainly did that today, didn't she? And I think we're absolutely delighted for her for all the reasons above. And as well as that, it's something really huge to add to her palmares, isn't it? She's won Milan San Remo. That was today. I'll start that sentence again.
Spoiler alert.
She's won Flanders. She's won Strada Bianchi, Omloop, Paris-Roubaix, of course, the World Championships. And this means a lot to her to add this to the list, doesn't it?
It does. And she did so much work for it as well. Yeah. It wasn't a case of her just being sort of absent all the way through. We saw her at the front. We saw her putting in all the efforts. We saw her drop back along with Lorena Vivas on the Cipressa at one point and managed to come back. And as soon as she came back, she came straight to the front. And also, we just saw how well, like you said, Becca, about her being a master tactician, that how she can read the other riders so well. She can always, she's always anticipating what the other riders are going to do. She kind of knows what their tics and traits are and knows how to combat that. But, you know, we saw her be so strong on the climbs. We saw her be strong on the descent. We saw her be strong in that final sprint. She was the one that, when Vlodicic got away on the Poggio in that very closing moments of the Poggio, Capecchi was the one that did the climb, that did the catchback. And then we could see her when they were going in the descent, she was the one that was getting frustrated that other people weren't coming in and working. You know, she's, when we see a lot of Capecchi win, she's not someone who just sits back and makes one move. She's one of those riders that is always digging in, always putting in the effort. So I think it's really, you know, she's a great rider to see win. And also knowing what she's been through last year, I think it's a real confidence boost moment. You know, if you can feel like you, as a double world champion, you can need a confidence boost. But you could see, couldn't you, when she was doing the winner's interview, she had a kind of a gleam in her eyes of thinking, yes, I've done it and I'm back. And, you know, it's quite ominous to see where the rest of the Spring Classic season is going to go, knowing what great form she's in.
Massively. I'm so excited about it. I'm absolutely delighted for her because, as you say, you can be the best in the world. You can know your capabilities. But she had such a huge confidence knock towards the end of last season just because of everything, as I said before, that she'd come up against. But I think what was also really important to kind of dissect in the way she won today was that right up until the last couple of hundred metres, she's still looking, where is Wiebes? Because, of course, she had that, you know, that tact, that mindfulness that the race still could go either way. And so she's looking to see, could this come back for a sprint, of course, for her teammate Wiebes, but also constant eyes up ahead. How do I win this for myself if we do come in this group? And I think that you cannot underestimate how difficult that is to pull that off, to have a mind on your teammate winning, but also, okay, if it comes down to this scenario, I'm going to take it, because she's just got eyes absolutely everywhere. And talking of which, I went back and really picked apart the point where Puk Pietersen made a huge move, of course, which, yeah, ultimately defined the end of the bike race, didn't it? But she, in my mind, was reacting to Capecchi moving up, because I think it was one of those where the camera that we were all probably watching on cut away just at a point of a real pivotal attack from Puk Pietersen. But you can see Capecchi senses danger up ahead. Something's going to go at this point. And so I need to reposition. Pietersen sees the fact that Capecchi's repositioning coming up to her right, and she just launches. And then Capecchi's just in the perfect place to follow that. And as you mentioned, Rose, did so much work to constantly chase down Vladicek, to, you know, counter the moves of UAE. And she just did a remarkable job showing she's back at her best. And for her as well, just instilling that confidence back in her, and the rest of the season I think is going to be mightily exciting as a result of that confidence.
It was also great to see, great to see SD Works at their best, because they're kind of our whipping team a bit, aren't they? Because they've always been historically so good and so strong. And then they come and get a win like this. But, you know, it is kind of historically they've been known to sort of let other teams do the work and feel the pressure, and they do the chase back. But we didn't see that today at all. We saw them from the off, even when that 9-rider breakaway went in the early stages, and they were kind of all smaller teams, and it could have been so easy just to relax back and let them get, you know, huge lump of time. We didn't see that. SD Works were always keeping them on a short leash, on a very attainable amount of advantage. We saw them using their domestiques, going through all of their domestiques. We saw them put in a huge effort with Blanca Vass between the Cipressa and Poggio.
She did so much.
She was pretty much always on the front there. So it was kind of, in a way, a little bit, a slightly different SD Works. You know, when you see a win like this, you think, okay, yeah, you could have always seen it coming. But it was a slightly different SD Works win, in that they were really at the front. They were, you know, a little bit sort of copying what we have been seeing in races this season from the likes of UAE ADQ and FDJ Suez. Those are the teams that we've seen constantly animating the race. But we saw that from SD Works today, which is a really exciting prospect. I did also want to talk about how great Capecchi and Vibus work together, because we know that it's not always the case that teammates can work well together. We kind of saw it with Capecchi and Vollering in previous seasons, didn't we, when they were both at SD Works, how their kind of their abilities and the races that they were targeting were almost too similar, that it was very hard to make that decision out on the road of, you know, who you should be working for. I feel like Vibus and Capecchi, they understand each other, don't they? They know exactly what each other's strengths are and how to let the other person, when the opportunity should go to the other person to lead and to win.
Completely that. And as I briefly touched upon before, you could really see Capecchi still looking back for Vibus late on in that final. And I love that about that duo. They don't need to speak to each other very often or communicate in words. They just read not only, you know, everything that is happening to the split second in the bike race, but they read each other and where they need to be. And we've seen that, you know, last season, how pivotal Capecchi was with bringing Vibus back into contention for victories. And I love watching the dynamic of the two of them. And I've spoken to Vibus about it in previous seasons. And yeah, you can just see how well they gel together, how happy they are for each other as well. And I think that really big hug between them at the end of the race as well, I thought that was quite telling. I think it was a Capecchi saying to Vibus, I know, like, we came in not knowing whether it was you or me that was going to take this, but I hope you're happy with that. And you could just see the happiness for each other.
Because, I mean, eyes had been totally on Lorena Vibus, yeah, in the run-up. Everyone, you know, particularly also considering that Elisa Longo Borghini said that she wouldn't be competing at Milan San Remo because of illness. Mariana Voss also unfortunately had to pull out because her dad is seriously ill. So she was also pulled out. So those two big names coming out of the race changed how people were seeing it. So to get a Capecchi win, it's kind of surprising and unsurprising, isn't it? I mean, we should mention actually the rest of the podium, because Noemi Rugg, huge performance from her. I mean, she was again at the front the whole time. We saw her on the early moves in the Cipressa, pulling people back, and she was close, wasn't she? Although, I mean, I did think in that finish line camera,
yeah,
when Capecchi flung her arms out, it did look like she was about to smack Noemi Rugg in the face as she celebrated. She was a bit too far behind for that. But yeah, I mean, she came third last year, didn't she? So that's like a step up for her. A great achievement at the Tour Down Under this year as well. So she's going well. I do want to talk about Eleonora Gasparini from UAE ADQ. Huge. She was obviously delighted. Clearly delighted, wasn't she, getting third place? An Italian rider, of course. Third place at Milan San Remo was huge for her.
Yeah, she was absolutely delighted. And there was a really nice post-race interview, wasn't there, with Dominika Vlodacek. And she was saying, I think the vibe sort of felt like they'd taken a victory, because getting the podium for them was really, really huge. And they were evidently delighted with the way that they'd read the race and really gone for it and committed. And once again, Vlodacek just getting stronger and stronger and stronger, by the way, isn't she? What a teammate to have, to have, like, keeping you in the mix like that. She's absolutely brilliant. But I think that was a case of them feeling like, yeah, podium, job done, happy with that performance. But yeah, I think you were sort of talking before we started recording, weren't you, about the fact that she was very much at the back of that group coming in. It was Vlodacek doing the attacks to force Capecchi to follow that. And ultimately, Capecchi ultimately had to do so much work. And Gasparini was sat back a bit. But yeah, it's interesting. That
do you think that she could have got more, Becca? Hadn't been fifth on the road, well, there, what I was in say that is final
it's
sprint,
quite interesting that she obviously felt with her reaction after the race that that's for them, that's where they were, and that's what they were kind of going for. Could she have done more? I mean, that was a mighty group, wasn't it? So you can always sort of say maybe if she'd committed a little bit sooner, perhaps, but that said, look at the mix of that group. I think it was a brilliant result for her to get onto that podium. As with you, when Capecchi committed, I was thinking this feels like a long sprint. And I thought Ruig on that shortened camera, which we always need to get an aerial shot to confirm that we're probably a little bit wrong. I thought Ruig was going to come round Capecchi because Capecchi potentially committed quite early, but yeah, saw an aerial shot, saw everybody actually commit at the same time, and Capecchi did it to perfection. So yeah, I'm not sure on that one. I feel like Gasparini was chuffed, so perhaps that's where she felt, you know, she needed to be today.
I felt like she could have given herself a better advantage though, being a little bit further ahead. I know she was kind of hanging at the back because she wasn't in the run-in, she kind of wasn't taking any turns. She was saving her legs because she had her teammate Vlodacek there. Obviously, she didn't need to take turns. But I think maybe lining up in the sprint, knowing that Vlodacek, if she was on the front, she wasn't going to be going with full firepower. She, you know, she's a proper climber. So maybe she should have been a couple of people ahead. I mean, probably the result wouldn't have been better. I know that she has actually in the past, she has beaten Noemi Ruig in a similar kind of, having climbs and then having a fast finish. She has beaten her in that situation. But it did seem that Ruig and Capecchi were kind of another level in terms of legs at the end there. And as you say, she was so delighted. Then perhaps, you know, that was the best that she thought she could get out of that. It was also remarkable from UAE ADQ, considering that they had to change with Elisa Longo Borghini not being there, and only knowing that a few days ahead, kind of change their tactics. They've shown that every race, haven't they, this season, that they can change on the road, be very flexible in their plans, even if they don't seem to have the front runners. So it's kind of carrying on that narrative, wasn't it? I think we should carry on talking about the crash, because that was a huge moment, wasn't it? The crash coming off the Cipressa, very frightening moment to watch live, seeing some riders tumbling over the barrier. As I say, the Laboral Kutcher rider, Deborah Silvestre, who we're most concerned about there, is conscious and has gone to hospital for treatment, but really hard on Kasia Niewiadoma, isn't it? Because she's known for being a fantastic descender. She's known for being able to string that pack out and get gaps on descents. And she put in so much effort on that Cipressa. And we were kind of, it was all building, before that crash, it was all building into this great finale. I mean, it was a great finale anyway, but a great finale where you had a bit more climbing power on the Poggio kind of going for it. And that one crash kind of took that opportunity away, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we it's worth saying we obviously never want to see riders come down, but that was a bad one. There's no getting away from it. It was one of those horror moments that you do not want to see in bike racing. It was really, really scary to watch that. And yeah, very, very relieved to see that Deborah Silvestri has been checked out. She is conscious, as you say. Really, really relieved, because she looked very, very worrying when she'd gone over the barrier. We haven't had an official update from the team as to how Kasia Nyuvadoma is doing at the moment. And looking, you know, obviously we really, really hope that she's up and okay. But looking on from that, you know, I just hope that it doesn't affect her too much in the way that she rides, because we know that, as you say, she's a rider that takes it to the absolute limit. That is why she's so brilliant. And to take it to the limit, you're always going to take risks as a bike racer. And it was a blind turn she was coming into. She was carrying so much speed. And yeah, she was at the front. She came down, and then so many other riders we saw go into Kasia, and quite some amount of riders came down subsequently, including Kim LeCourt. And so, you know, very, very scary moment, and then really affected the bike race, of course, because you had those riders that had really started to make their moves, and big moves, to start forcing gaps behind, pressing on that descent, at a really pivotal point in the race. So yeah, it was really alarming to see that, and really hoping that everybody is okay.
It is actually, does give more credit, doesn't it, to that group of five who managed to get away, because it seemed at that point, after that crash, when LeCourt and Kasia Nyuvadoma had been so instrumental on the Chipressa climb in terms of making the difference and splintering the group, it felt like, oh, this is just Lorena Wiebes's to win now, didn't it? Because it was kind of, this has gone all the way into the sprinter's hands. We're going to have a big, you know, reduced bunch sprint on the finish now, because we've lost all that climbing firepower. So it is, we have to give a huge amount of credit to put Pietersa for and Vlodicic for continuing to put in those digs on the Poggio without having those other riders also you know, wanting effectively a more climbing rider to win that race, because that could have easily have made actually put them at such a disadvantage that people would have felt scared to even try anything on that Poggio climb, particularly as I said, with Longo Borghini not being there in the first place, and Marianne Vos, who is a fast finisher but needs a hard race, with them not being there. And I think I saw a pre-race interview with Kasia Nyuvadoma during the coverage, she said, you know, not having Longo Borghini here is a real disadvantage to me. And she seemed quite defeated even at that point, which actually takes me on to a point that I thought was going to be really pivotal in the race, which was on Chipressa, near the top of Chipressa, or a couple of kilometres from the top, should I say, when we saw Kasia Nyuvadoma putting in a sustained effort, and she seemed to drag seven riders clear, and those riders were Puk Pietersa, Dominika Vlodicic, these are familiar names, aren't they? Noemi Rugg, another familiar name, Kim LeCourt, Sarah Van Dam, and Sylvia Persico kind of got clear after Kasia's repeated sustained effort, and then they just sort of looked at each other. They'd lost Wiebes, they'd lost Capecchi. And I was thinking at this point, is this going to be such a frustrating race to watch? Is this going to have been the moment, and everyone's looking at each other and all of the group is coming back and they had a great moment there that they could have got away? How did you read that moment?
Well, I found it really hard to read that moment, actually, because, yeah, Kasia did a signature move. She was just absolutely powering with force at the front. And I feel like she'd put so much pace in. She'd looked back a few times and it wasn't really doing the damage that it might have done in previous seasons. Something we've talked about a lot is that, you know, the levelling up of the peloton means that these big name riders aren't able to simply ride away anymore. So I feel like Nyuvadoma's looking back, she's not really doing the biggest amount of damage. But then that moment you're talking about, she is on the front. She looks over her shoulder and pulls off, perhaps thinking this isn't really the move, it's not working. But as she pulls off, the splintering becomes bigger and bigger gaps behind, and suddenly there's this select group that has come together under the pressure of Nuvodoma losing the riders behind. And it's almost that interesting moment, like, did she look back and think that it wasn't working and then pulled off? Then you saw Kim Le Corpinard come through, and then she just doesn't come through with momentum, looks at Kasia, looks at the other riders, and then everybody starts looking at each other. So I feel like that could have been the moment. I don't know why it wasn't at that point in the race. Obviously, a lot of things unfurled after that. But why did that group not press on? Do you think perhaps in Kasia's case, she just thought it hadn't paid off?
Well, I think maybe Kasia, because it was quite a sustained effort from her. I mean, we're kind of used to seeing Nuvodoma put in these sort of really short, punchy accelerations. And then she looks behind, she's either got a gap or she's not. And then she, you know, works out what she wants to do after that. This time it seemed like she was going and she was checking behind, but she kept going and she kept going and she kept going. It was quite, it was quite a long time that she was at the front. So I felt like at that point she was like, okay, I've given my bit. And so someone else can take this on now. So I don't know that it falls on her to have carried on at that point, but I was certainly surprised by the other riders there that they didn't push on, because all of the chat had been previously that this looked like it was going to be a sprinter's race. Really, we'd lost, you know, a few. Demi Vollering, I should say, not her sister. Demi Vollering wasn't there. Longo Borghini wasn't there. So we kind of didn't have as many climbers that would be looking to make the difference. So I thought that, seeing as the climbers did make a difference briefly, they were in a group of seven, and then even after they were a group of seven, I think about a trio of riders came over to them, and that still didn't have Lorena Vibus or Lotta Kopecky in that group. And it was only some few hundred meters later that then in a third group Lotta Kopecky and Lorena Vibus bridged across. So I was kind of shouting at the TV a bit, to be honest, because I was thinking, well, this is what you wanted, was it? You know, all of those riders, Lecourt, Vlodicic, Noemi Roeg to an extent, Puk Pietersen, all of these riders were riders who wanted it to separate at that point. And there was a lot of talk also, like, if you want it to be a climbers race, it's going to have to go on the Cipressa, because the Poggio is a funny kind of climb. It's steep and then it sort of flattens out in the middle and then it gets steep again, but that steep bit at the end doesn't really give you enough time to make any sort of advantage for the run-in. So I thought, surely this is exactly what they wanted to happen, so why are they looking at each other now? I don't know whether it was just like the wrong mix of riders, but then when you look at the riders, it's kind of half of them are what you would think was the leaders of their teams. So yeah, you think that they would be like, come on, this is a good...
Yeah, the right ones. Exactly. Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the whole narrative with all the interviews I heard before the race have been like, how do we get rid of Vibus with the way she was climbing in the race last year? And obviously bolstered with the strength of Kopecky and the rest of the team. So I think that was the big talking point. How do we get rid of her? And they did look to be getting rid of her. And then everybody sat up and looked at each other. So yeah, I was scratching my head, let's say, as to why the momentum came out of that. And yeah, fair play. I think Kasia deserved a little bit of a pull off with her elbow for a brief rest. And actually, in the past, we've criticised Kasia Nuvodoma for doing so much work on the front that she can't then quite go for that victory. So yeah, I think she was playing it right, and then everybody else came through, and for whatever reason, I don't have the answer for you, Rose, everyone looked at each other, and then Vibus and Kopecky came back.
Yeah, it's funny because also at the end, Dominika Vlodicic, who was obviously very happy with her teammate Gasparini getting third, she even said, oh, you know, it was all, we need to do something on the Poggio because it was all too easy to follow on the Cipressa. But it actually wasn't. It actually wasn't. They had actually, maybe they hadn't realised the situation they were in, or I think also that's part of the funny thing about Milan-San Remo is that, because you're kind of doing this long, you know, 100 kilometres of just sort of flat racing pretty much, and then you've got some quite easy climbs before you go into this grand finale of the Cipressa and Poggio, I think the riders don't quite know where their legs are when they're in that section. It's also, we have to remember, this is only the second time the women have raced this race. So it's not like everyone's really experienced about, oh, this is a good time to go and this is where it gets steep and this is where this corner goes. They, of course, they will have done recons and, you know, some of them will have done the race last year as well. But it's very different when you get into a race position like that and you don't really know what you need to have, what, you know, levels of energy. I feel like they kind of felt maybe that they were... maybe it was all a bit too early that they were doing it. You know, they had about 2.5 kilometres of the Cipressa still to run and then the Poggio. Maybe they didn't want to make that difference at that point. But I think in this race, as soon as you've got an advantage, you've got to go with it. You've got to lean into that because there's not that many opportunities to make the difference. But perhaps it was that everyone was looking around thinking, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm the leader now or you're the leader or... maybe it took a bit of time for people to assess because it's kind of like fireworks, isn't it, going into the Cipressa. It's kind of, you have all this sort of calmness and you can see all the teams are nicely lined up for 100 kilometres all behind another rider and it all seems very settled. And then it's just people moving and different positioning and coming into a chicane and it all gets a bit crazy. And maybe that was part of it. Maybe the riders were all a little bit not aware of whether they should be pushing on or whether they shouldn't at that point.
Yeah, and a moment's hesitation, of course. You've got two of the best riders in the world behind. They're going to come back in that brief moment. And I think it's a really interesting point because, of course, this race is just in its second year for this peloton. And with it being a young race in that guise, I think Alice Wood made a really good point on the commentary when... unfortunately, we saw that huge crash, that riders have done a lot of recons, especially of those pivotal descents. However, obviously on race day, it's going to be different. Until you're in this race scenario, you've not done this on a closed road to full effect in a race position. So I think it's worth noting that. Because there's so many unknowns until race day, and a lot of riders also saying themselves that this is not a formulaic thing where they go, well, every year it goes at this point. It's in its second edition in this form.
It was great. Also, we should give a lot of plaudits to Milan San Remo after we were so down on it just a few days ago. But you know, it gave us a thrilling second edition. Actually, before I go into saying that, we should also give a bit of kudos to Visma Lisabike. Obviously didn't have Marianne Vos, but clearly having De Vries go, having Nguyen go and get those little gaps, they were trying to animate the race and do something different, because we had said actually on our last regular podcast, hadn't we, that we couldn't see them getting wins necessarily this year unless they were riding in support of their two main leaders, which are Marianne Vos and Pauline Ferrand-Prevot. But we saw them trying to take the race to all the rest of the riders.
Yeah, and this happens every time we say this about a team, doesn't it? They go on putting a massive, massive attack on race day. I thought they were impressive today, and you never know when it's going to pay off. And they threw, as you say, so many big attacks, which did stick for quite some time and were really important parts of the race, like Nguyen being away for quite some time. And I thought, they threw everything they could at the race today, as mentioned, with the absence of Vos.
We saw a great addition, didn't we? And we also saw, I think, potential for this race to be different in future. It wasn't just that old sprinters classic that we were perhaps expecting it to be, was it? I mean, last year we had that, didn't we? We had a Vibus victory, her beating Vos. It was all quite, you know, what we would expect from this race. But this kind of gave us a few surprises, didn't it? And also, I think, showed us a little inkling that in the years to come, it could be very different. We could see attacks on the Cipressa and the Poggio. Well, this was an attack on the Poggio that stuck, wasn't it? Inevitably. But we could see different kinds of riders winning this race?
We definitely could. Yeah, which goes back to the perfection that SD Works Pro Time rode with, knowing that they had two possible outcomes there and being attentive to both of them. And it just goes to show it can and will be unpredictable. I think, yeah, I eat my hat. It was absolutely brilliant. And I'm really excited for future editions.
How many Proseccos out of five Proseccos are you giving this, Rebecca?
I don't think I could have hoped for much more today. I'll give it a four. There you go.
Oh, nice. I think room, I would have also...
Room for improvement, yes. But really, really happy for Capecchi. So yeah, let's give it a four.
To be honest, you're I don't think I've ever seen you have less than four Proseccos, Becca, when I've
That's true.
Been out with you. So no, I would also give it a four Proseccos, because there was chances, there was dramatic moments, a great victory for Lotta Capecchi, and some, you know, heartwarming moments. I think we couldn't ask for a bit more. Maybe if that seven rider group on the Cipresso had gone, that really would have caused a bit of chaos. Perhaps room for an extra Prosecco next year, I think is what we should say. But yeah, that concludes everything from our Arrive episode from the women's race at Milan San Remo. Of course, the men are also racing, apparently.
It's probably still out there, aren't they?
Yeah, they will be. So do tune into the cycling podcast Arrive from their race as well. Thank you very much, Rebecca. I'll let you go and knock back the four Proseccos in honour of the
race. Just round it up to five. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, listeners.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Freeb, and Lionel Burney.